Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the new Preston North End manager, Alex Neil, who is down in Fota Island Resort on pre-season training. Good to talk to you, Alex. Everything going well down in Cork?
Yeah, no, everything's going well. Obviously, the facilities are fantastic here. And the lads have been training really hard over the last few days, so it's been a great trip for us.
You're in the job, what, 10 days, if even that at this stage? Just how important is a pre-season ahead of the championship? You've obviously experienced pre-season before, Premier League before, but when you've got this relentless nature of the championship, 46 games, you're not going to get a huge amount of time on the training pitch for working on tactics once the season arrives. Is pre-season almost more important in the championship than it is in the Premier League?
I think it's probably equal, really. You know, I think pre-season for any team is crucial because, particularly when you're new in the door, you know, because obviously Preston have had a sort of style of play and the way they've worked over the last four seasons. And obviously that's changing just now. So it's just trying to get the principles bedded in as quickly as you can and getting the lads to understand exactly what you're looking for.
What are you looking for exactly?
Well, basically, I think we want to try and be a bit more aggressive than what we've have been in the past in terms of with the ball and without the ball. And I think the lads are enjoying that at the moment. But we've got to make sure they're working together rather than ones and twos. So it's not going to sort of just happen overnight. You know, it's going to be a process. But the lads have attacked it and they've adapted themselves really, really well so far.
Yeah, because it's an interesting time for the players as well. We've obviously a huge interest in the Irish players that are at Preston and that are coming to Preston. But for so many of the players at that club, they would have been brought in by Simon Grayson. They would have been impressing him. They would have been working to his style of play. They would have known what made him tick, what got them in the team. And suddenly that's swept from under them and they have to restart again. From your point of view, I guess that's exactly what you need. You need players who are looking to prove themselves once again.
Yeah, of course. And the fact is, in football, nothing ever stays the same. You know, four years is a really long time in football for it to remain the same way. And I think, like anything else, I think a bit of freshness, some different ideas is really engaging for the players, you know. So I think they'll enjoy it. And it's just about them applying themselves, really.
So for the last couple of years, when you've been taking teams in pre-season, so say 2 years ago you're looking ahead to a season in the Premier League with Norwich and it's all about survival, you've very much the set task in hand, then last season when you're in the championship you're one of the big boys coming down and it's all about getting straight back up. With Preston it seems to be kind of different. They've finished 11th the last two seasons. There almost seems to be a patience at Preston amongst the supporters that there isn't at a lot of clubs right now.
Yeah, but I think that's due to the fact that I think this season there'll be one of only five teams in the Championship that's never been in the Premier League. You know, so it's not something that's natural or easy to do, particularly on this type of budget that we've got. Do you know what I mean? You spoke about some of the big boys coming down. Some of the money that gets spent in the Championship is huge amounts of money. So we're doing it in a different manner. Do you know what I mean? We're doing it in a gradual process and trying to sign the best young players that we can, making them better, working as a team. And it is achievable. You know, we can do it, but you need a little bit of fortune as well. You need to keep key players fit and you need to make sure that they're at the top of their game as often as possible.
Is it almost then a case for you of going back to your time in charge of Hamilton that this job is more comparable to that than your time in charge of Norwich?
Yeah, I would probably say so. You know, I think at Hamilton I had a couple of years where I could build a squad, signed some really good players and we had arguably the most successful period in the club's history, do you know what I mean? So that was a great time for me and I see this as a similar type challenge. You know, the team's made good progress and now we want to try and take it that one step further. So it's going to be a gradual thing. You know, as I say, it's not going to happen overnight, but I've got some exciting young players and I think they'll improve, and if they do improve, hopefully we can continue to carry up the table.
For people who don't know your story, so you were 10 years at Hamilton as a player, you took over as manager at, what, 31? You're still only 36 now. You're still one of the youngest managers in the English game. But Norwich and the way it ended, it's probably the first major setback you've had. It was such a positive trajectory for so long. those first couple of weeks when it all ended with Norwich, was that a difficult period?
Yeah, I think, well, it was probably the first time I'd been out the game, really, for the first time in my career since I was, 16. So it was strange, you know, but I think there was a lot of, variables that obviously led to that. You know, I think one of the key factors was having a stable club is the most important thing. You know, it really needs to be run by whoever's in charge and it's stable and there's nobody moving. You know, we lost two chief executives in 10 months. And whether you like it or not, that sort of destabilises things because obviously the people who are in charge have then left the club and you're looking for someone else to take control. And we had a void right throughout the summer until the end of August. And then obviously the new chief executive comes in and then within, 4 or 5 months he's away as well. So I think it was unsettling for everyone. And it makes my job doubly difficult because there's nobody there to bounce off of. You know, the chief executive left and I was basically in control of the full club. So taking everything into account, although we wanted to try and challenge to get into the Premier League, there's been teams like say, Aston Villa who spent vast amounts of money, finished underneath us in the table. You know, so I think people don't see the whole picture at times.
You mentioned there that with the changes in chief executives that you find yourself running everything almost, being the manager of the entire club, not just the first team. Do you enjoy that part of it or do you very much see yourself as coach first, manager second?
No, I like to have a controlling factor and certainly players coming in, players going out. Obviously, the manager must be sort of have a key decision in that. However, in terms of negotiating contracts and how much money the club's prepared to spend, I don't see that as my domain at all. You know, Peter Ridsdale would certainly take care of that. So my job's to manage the players. So if there's any footballing issues whatsoever, that's what I should be dealing with. Anything other than that, then there's people in those positions to take care of that. And that's how any sort of stable club, as far as I'm concerned, should work.
You'll know in this country that there is a lot of love for Wes Hoolihan. He's very much a cult figure in this country. And when it was all ending, it was been put out there that part of the reason was that there was some of the conflict was surrounding Wes and your willingness to sell him and Delia Smith's insistence that he had to stay at the club. Was that just one factor or was that a major part of how it all unravelled in the end?
To be honest, I don't even know where that rumour came from because it's completely untrue. Wes is obviously 35, so I'm not sure who, if any, in terms of a market for Wes was going to be there. You know, I'd given Wes a new contract. He had a testimonial at the end of that his season, which I think is this season coming. So for anybody to suggest that I was trying to sell him at his age, certainly based on what he'd done for me, that's completely untrue. I think what people have done is just sort of made it up, to be honest.
He's only become really a key player in the Irish squad in the last 2, 3, 4 seasons after being left out in the wilderness for so long. When you look at the talent he still has at his age, do you look at him and wonder, God, I wish I had this guy when he's 25?
Yeah, but the one thing I will say about Wes, obviously, because I came across Wes when I was at Livingston as a player. I think Wes' professionalism now is unquestionable. You know, I think in terms of the shape that he's in for his age, how hard he trains, is why he's sort of prolonged his career as much as he has. You know, I think Wes will be the first to probably admit when in his younger days, he maybe wasn't as in good a shape as what he's capable of. And I think what he's done is, I think, obviously he's changed that, he's changed his lifestyle, and now he's reaping the benefits of it, or he certainly has for the last 5 or 6 seasons.
19, 20 years is a long time in the game with any sort of a break from it at all. What did you do for those couple of months? Had you plans in place that when you eventually had a break from football, there were things you wanted to do?
To be honest, I took in as many games as I could, you know, so I think there were still 4 rounds of games left in terms of weekend fixtures. So I went and took in probably about 6, 7, 8 games over that spell. And then I went and went on holiday a couple of times just to sort of relax. Because I'd went from being a player straight into coaching and managing right away. And I'd 4 sort of really intense years where we were either challenging for promotion or we were challenged to try and stay in the Premier League. So I just had a sort of short break. And then thankfully I got an opportunity to come to Preston and get back in and hopefully show what I can do.
Do you still see yourself being involved in football 20 years from now? Would you still want to be involved in football? Is that the sort of long managerial career you're looking for?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. You know, I really don't know. When I went into management, I wanted to continue to play. You know, and I was fortunate enough that I was still in good enough shape and capable of being effective in the Hamilton team that I was in. You know, until I went to Norwich, I think I played 20 games that season, leading up to sort of January. And then when I went to Norwich, to be honest, I wasn't capable of doing what was required to get the team in the Premier League. So that effectively ended my playing career. So, I'm unsure what the future holds. You know, I enjoy my work. I love what I do. And if that remains the case, then obviously I'd like to stay in. If that changes at any stage, then obviously I'd maybe look at different avenues.
It's got to the stage here in Ireland that I think when people look at the Championship results, the first club they look for now are Preston, because there is such a strong Irish interest there. And you'll have Daryl Horgan, Andy Boyle, Alan Brown. I know Greg Cunningham is in recovery from injury at the moment. And then Kevin O'Connor and Sean Maguire to join up over the next few weeks. There's obviously all those players brought in by Simon Grayson. They're all trying to prove themselves again. For Kevin O'Connor and Sean Maguire, it's probably a strange situation because they would have been sold the club by Simon Grayson. And when they actually now link up, it's going to be a different manager. Have you spoken to those players yet?
Yes, I met the lads on Sunday. But in terms of players coming into a club, generally it's never just one person's decision. Mm. I mean, so it's the club that signed them. It's not necessarily Simon or anyone else that's been previously. Obviously, Simon would have played a big part in that. But the club have wanted these players. Simon would have been involved in the process, as I'll be with any players that do come in. The fact is, they're good young players. They've got a lot of potential. And the best part of their careers are ahead of them. So as a coach coming into that, I don't think you can really ask for any more, you know, because they're young, they're impressionable, and you can teach them everything that you know and get hopefully the best out of them.
Yeah, what have you made of Daryl Horgan in particular in the 10 days or so you've had with him?
Yeah, really, really eager to learn, you know, extremely hardworking. He's one of the lads that once you've finished training, he just keeps wanting to stay out and wants to do more and more and more. So to be honest with Daryl in particular, it's about keeping the reins on him and making sure that he doesn't tire himself out. That's probably the biggest challenge I've had so far with Daryl.
So if we're talking to you this time next summer and you finished your first full season with Preston, what's a successful year for you?
Progress. You know, I think we've finished 11th the last 2 years. We want to get up the table. I want my young players to have a better understanding of the game. I want them individually to have improved as players and work better as a unit. And we want to try and finish better off than we have done for the last 2 years if we can.
Alex, you've been very patient with your time this afternoon. Thanks a lot for talking to us here on Off the Ball, and best of luck this season.
Not at all, thank you.